Welcome to The Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, where we take a journey around the world learning about social etiquette and traditions. Welcome to this week's edition of The Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Jarek from Poland. So, Jarek, it's quite different from Malta, Poland. So, could you tell us a few differences that you've noticed living here?
Well, apart from the most obvious thing like climate, minus 22 back home, plus I don't know how much right now, 10, 15 or so. Of course, you know, it comes a lot with the way people interact, behave. I think people are a bit more open here. Mm-hmm. And it comes probably with the climate as well. I would say people are generally less formal when it comes to interacting with each other.
So is that, you know, we hug people and we're a bit more...
The contact is a little bit close. I mean, keeping the distance as well. I mean, those are like probably those, you know, traditional things when you think about us living somewhere there up north in the, you know, cold...
You'd want to hug to get a bit warmer. And we'd want not to, so because we're all sweaty all the time.
No? Yeah, good point. Good point you have.
So, but is it formal even in social situations? Like when you go to a friend's house for dinner, is that still quite formal and quite distant? Or
no, I think, you know, in all the Polish literature, it is mentioned that we Poles are like you know, this lava. So we have layers. There's a, you know, this thick and cold layer on the top, but once you break in, there's obviously
the
a completely different
stuff.
Exactly, completely different environment. So I think it's just the matter of, you know, to break ice initially, and then everything goes smooth. So obviously, you know, when you already know someone well, when you're visiting him at home or you're hosting him at your own home, then obviously it's much different. Yeah.
So do you eat regulatively early? Because again, in Malta we eat quite late. Is it something like the rest of Northern Europe, essentially they eat very early in the day?
Yeah, true. I mean, we don't have like this, you know, culture of late suppers or dinners. Mm-hmm. Even it has changed as well. Like I remember when I was little, I'm close to 40 right now, by the way, so it was a long time ago, but I remember my dad, you know, coming back from work around 4 o'clock, and then we were having dinner at 4 o'clock, supper usually very small one around 7 o'clock, and okay. Then that's it. Now it all shifted a little bit like forward, so people are not coming back home 4 o'clock, at least some of them. And then, you know, obviously all family life concentrates around evenings and late afternoons.
So you have your main meal is the supper, essentially, the 7 o'clock sort of time?
Kind of like probably still six-ish.
Okay.
Around, but I know some families where, you know, the difference between supper and dinner, it just diminished. So it just one meal at the end of the day.
So when you invite friends over, is that generally for the earlier or the later meal, the dinner or the supper?
Depends, I would say. I mean, I usually invite friends over the weekend, and then I make it easy. I invite them, you know, to join me around 2 o'clock if we are supposed to spend, like, you know, more time with each other. And then it's like a very, very late lunch, usually, you know, being served around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that.
And then you just keep going.
And we just keep going, exactly. So food is always present, basically. I think it's not formalized, actually, so much.
So if you did invite somebody for one of these meals at your house and you said 2 o'clock, what time would your friends actually show up? What's the norm for the
right,
culture?
So you're asking me, in other words, like if being late is being accepted or no? Okay. All right. Being late is generally accepted, but if you're late more than 1 hour without giving a notice, then then it is already considered a bit rude, especially if you have a meal waiting for you.
Yes.
It's getting cold, so we usually try to stick to, you know, at least this 15 minutes after time, which is very much, you know, acceptable.
And that's the same in a work culture and everything. It's normally pretty much
at work it's even more strict, I think. So we try to be rather, you know, punctual, respecting each other's time.
And what sort of food would you serve at a casual friend's dinner? Is it traditional food? Is it, you know, It can mix from different nations. What's the sort of norm?
It's a mix. Mix. Definitely. But, you know, we still, we are the meat eaters, I think. So probably, unless, you know, I know very well that one of my friends is vegetarian or mm-hmm. he or she doesn't accept, you know, any dishes like that. Then obviously I would serve, you know. yeah, I would serve some alternatives at least. But, you know, this so-called Mediterranean salads probably are fairly popular as well. But meat must be there.
And so coming on to, you know, once you become friends with people, perhaps, you know, couples get engaged. Is there a big thing around engagements in Poland?
Yeah, still, I'm hesitating since, again, I mean, it depends, you know, I think on the personal level, you know, some people like to keep it still a little bit unofficial, maybe notifying, you know, just close friends and family. Uh-huh. But it's not that we just, you know, throw a party every single time when someone gets engaged. Obviously, we have a tradition of bachelor's parties and, mm-hmm. you know, all this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's you are expected to invite your friends and have fun.
Are they things that still happen within the country, or have they started taking the trend of going elsewhere and, you know, terrorizing other neighborhoods to pay back for all the people that come?
yeah, I mean, yeah, we usually do that this way.
It's all good fun. And then when it comes on to the wedding, what are they like? Are they big formal occasions like in Malta?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah? So hundreds of people as well? Or?
The more the better, usually. Obviously, you need to afford, you know, throwing a big wedding party. But I think it's still expected, at least. Is it, you know, practice across the country? Probably differs between big cities, especially, mm-hmm. and the smaller cities and the countryside. But usually the smaller community is, the bigger the party.
Oh, okay. So the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
So like your whole village or something pretty much would...
Certainly.
Attend. Is there any traditions that are unusual, shall we say, at a Polish wedding that...
Okay, yeah. So, first of all, the timing. Still, it is rather practiced to throw a party which lasts 2 days. So it starts on Saturday late afternoon, and then it lasts until Sunday morning. Then mm-hmm. everyone goes to sleep for a couple of hours, and then people, you know, come back and we have an after party, which lasts until, well... I don't know, early evening or so on Sunday, so that everyone can sober up and, you know, come back home and go to work on Monday.
So how does it start off? Is the ceremony the first thing that happens?
Yes.
On a Saturday afternoon? And is the bride wearing what we would consider traditional, you know, a long white dress type of thing?
True. Yeah, that's very probably common.
Uh-huh. Are there any other things that you, obviously apart from the white dress, that the bride would do? You know, like in England, they wear something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. Is there other things that the bride or the groom, in fact, you know, wearing green shoes or something?
Yeah, I'm probably pretty bad, you know, when it comes to memorizing all those rules. There are plenty of rules. My wife probably would remember, you know, most of them. But I remember, like, you know, an absolute, well, you must not wear pearls.
Okay.
As earrings, because pearls, they symbolize tears.
Okay.
And it's basically, you know, it can bring bad luck, bad sign for the marriage just about to happen. Then I remember another thing, you know, when you stand in front of, well, wherever the wedding is taking place, in the church, in front of the priest, in the municipality office, it's a clerk giving you the wedding. So when you just... you know, stay in front of that mm-hmm. person and you turn back, then it all depends, you know, around whom you're making the turn. If the turn is done, you know, around the broom or the groom, sorry, or the bride, then that person obviously is going to be, is going to have a stronger position, you know, in the household later on. So it's a little bit of, you know, the fighting at that moment. It's quite funny. Obviously, the keys is a must, and mm-hmm. you know, all those things, which are probably common for other cultures as well.
And is that the ceremony, like an hour, and then you go off and start this mammoth party?
Yeah, that sort of usually thing? Straight after, whenever you can. Obviously, you need to probably, you know, change places, commute or whatever. But then, as soon as you arrive, you know, to the party place, you just, you know. And that's kick off the party.
The bride's still in a normal dress, and you just... tell me about the parties. What's at the party? Is there specific food? Is there a specific order of things that happens?
Some welcome drinks, usually, at the beginning. I guess it's nothing really special, you know, about Poland when it comes to that. Then it's the first dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone is, you know, looking for his, her own place, you know, around the table. Food on the table is, I think, pretty important. You know, there must be plenty of food, plenty of drinks.
And that's already laid, or is it typical that you have a buffet or you're served?
It changes from being served to having a buffet, but those, you know, traditional weddings are still somehow embracing the fact that, you know, you sit down and you're being served. So like every couple of hours you have a new dish eventually landing on your table, and you expect it, you know, to consume everything. Drinking, obviously, yeah.
Obviously.
It's quite well practiced and expected.
Are there traditional foods at weddings? Is there a particular type of cake or a soup or a something that you have always at weddings that...
I'm not aware of like any dish which is always there. It's probably, again, a combination of, you know, something, you know, so that's... the ones with big appetite can consume and, you know, be happy. Those not eating meats, same story, and so on and on.
And this goes on, and then you sort of eventually, do you have speeches at weddings, you know, with funny speeches and serious speeches maybe?
The ones expected to speak, obviously, like, the parents or like the heads of the families from both sides, probably greeting everyone, thanking everyone and so on. The groom, same story. However, okay, if it doesn't happen, I think it's, you know, not a big deal. Still, it is expected, and would be nice, you know, if we hear something from that person as well. But it's not that we have a speech, you know, every hour or so, because...
You just want to drink, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, or, you know, whoever feels the need, basically. Usually, you know, there are those outspoken individuals invited, and they do have speeches, you know, from time to time. But not, like, for 30 minutes or so, just, like, you know, to make a toast.
Okay. And is that with shots or champagne or whatever's in front of you at that point in time?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We probably shift, like, you know, gradually from shots only to, you know, a well-balanced
diet of drinks.
Offering, yes, of drinks, various kinds.
So we've had the speeches and the toasts, and then is it dancing? That's what happens before you have to go off and have this rest?
Dancing, basically, that takes place all around the clock. With some breaks, you know, especially when you have a live orchestra, then those guys need to, well, eventually sit down, rest, and so on. From time to time, so then you have breaks for drinking, eating, and so on. but yeah, there's, you know, music all the time, dancing for most of the time. We have games as well.
Okay, but like grown-up games or not board games? Is it sort of crowd games?
Crowd games, exactly. So that, you know, those who don't feel so comfortable with dancing, they can still go to the middle of the dance floor and, you know, do some crazy stuff like, you know, fighting for a chair, if you know the game.
Like musical chairs?
Yeah, exactly.
Where they take the chair away as you go around the music
song. Exactly. Well, that's the, you know, the whole palette of games to pick up from and so on. And usually, again, I think, you know, this tradition maybe diminishes a little bit, but it's usually the role of the leader of the band. He's also, like, you know, the person who's facilitating everything. So he says, okay, now let's have a game, you know, doing this and that. And, well...
And then so you have, like, all of the family there. Do the older generation leave before the games, or do they keep going until the end? And then the after party is just the closest friends, or...?
They keep going.
They keep
going. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the parties are usually very inclusive, so it's not that, well, you know, this party is only for the younger generation, and this one is for the older. Music, I think, also accommodates the needs of everyone, so it's something common so that everyone can have, you know, fun.
Is there traditional, like, folk dances or anything that happens at these weddings, or it's whatever the bride and groom like? You get these bands in, and they'll play an assortment, and then a disco afterwards type of thing? Or
it's usually, like, you know, a well-balanced mix of the music from, you know, the past, maybe with some modern flavors and some new beats as well.
Okay.
Still nothing. Okay, of course, you know, there are exceptions. Mm-hmm. That we have some controversial music styles being played and so on. But everyone should be rather notified about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, normally it's expected that, you know, the music is just
fun.
Fun, popular.
Yeah, I'm just letting you all know he's actually almost dancing in his seat here. and going to a wedding as a guest, are there, you know, A, what do you take as a present? What's sort of expected? And also, what does one wear to a wedding where you're going to be drinking and dancing until, you know, next day?
This is formal, actually.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's an unwritten rule that you just, you know, wear a suit, a tie, mm-hmm. being a guy, and night dress if you're a lady. Mm-hmm. And then, you, of course, you're expected to do all these crazy things, you know, with dancing and
the
games.
So a comfortable long dress. So
ladies still have a choice, you know, to probably change in the process. Guys probably not so much.
Sleep in their suit and then come back for more.
Exactly. Why not? Why not?
Yeah, it's not my wedding. So I'm going to fast forward a bit. So once the wedding's happened and mm-hmm. then children start to come along, are there things that happen at christenings, or is there, again, sort of traditional gifts for christenings that you have, or a typical ceremony, or is it, it's quite low key?
Again, yes and no. I mean, depends, you know. There are circles where it's rather in the small communities where it's a very big deal, basically. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just want to let everyone know about the fact. I'm not aware, you know, I wouldn't probably say that, you know, there's a certain kind of presence expected always. Probably clothes.
Okay.
For the babies. Anything beyond that, I don't know, really. Okay. I wouldn't tell if there's something more.
And sorry, we skipped over the part about wedding presents, because it's, mm-hmm. it's awful to turn up at a wedding and not know what you're supposed to bring and do something wrong. You know, like in Malta, we give money, essentially. That's normally what people want. Yeah. What would happen at a Polish wedding?
So if it's anything apart from like the regular gifts, so mm-hmm. those regular gifts are, you know, something you can you would need later on at home, or I don't know, some practical things, then
vodka.
For instance, expensive liquors and so on, very, very, you know, essential things at home later on. Then you're usually notified, you know, within the invitation that, well, we don't collect regular gifts, we expect envelopes, fat envelopes, or once I participated, you know, in the wedding where there were no flowers expected, instead some toys for kids, which were later given to the orphanage,
really,
and so on. So I mean, people are really creative here.
Do what they need to do.
Yeah.
So are you normally engaged for a while and living together before you get married in Poland, or is it again? It depends. Rural, you might get married and then live together, and in the cities.
I think it's more and more common that people start living, you know, together before officially being engaged and getting married and so on. So
good practice run.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it makes sense.
Exactly.
Are there any other sort of rites of passage, so to say? But is there anything that happens through teenage years, like a graduation ball or a, you know, going to secondary school? Is any of that a big deal? You don't have national service, do you, in Poland still?
Not anymore.
No, not anymore. Okay, because that would have been a sort of milestone.
So especially when you leave and when you come back, yes, yes, that, definitely. But that's more or less like my generation still remembers that. The generation after me, probably not so much.
Okay.
We have, you know, obviously we have how we call it, those graduation mm-hmm. Parties. You know, when you graduate from the high school, for instance, or even like, you know. We have a tradition of a party. I wouldn't know how to translate it. In the free translation, it's something like a 100 days until the baccalaureate.
Okay.
So 100 days before the baccalaureate happens.
So is that before your exams?
It's even before you graduate.
Okay.
Like, you know, still to have a good time with your friends and so on. It is something, you know, the school organizes, rather. So it's not a private initiative of, you know,
so it's you and
students.
All of your schoolmates, one big party.
Exactly.
Okay, practice, ready for the real world.
It is, exactly. It's like, you know, the last probably moment, you know, when you have enough free time to just have fun. Later on, it just, you know, sweat, tears, and hard work.
Oh,
next 100 days, exactly.
Yeah, that's true, actually, until the exams are finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? Would people do gap years and then start work, or generally just... start work or go off to uni?
Probably, yeah, still. But it's, I don't know, that's my private opinion. I think it's very much up to the condition of the economy, basically. You know, whenever it's whenever the labor market tightens, people are basically afraid, you know, to take gaps or just to join the market too late, since they are afraid, you know, this train will leave any moment and I'll just stay, you know, without a job, without any prospects for the future.
It's just another year and the next year will come and it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And what about things like Easter? Do you celebrate Easter?
Yeah, you know, definitely not proudly. It's not such a, you know, colourful and, how to say it, expected time as Christmas.
Okay.
I think Christmas is still in the centre of, you know.
And it snows in Poland.
Snow, yes, cold.
So it's proper Christmas.
It's funny, since we expect snow, actually. I mean, we say that, you know, Christmas without snow, it's like half a Christmas. But then when the snow comes, everyone complains, oh, snow, you know, now we need to unsnow our cars. And
minus 20 is quite kind of different to just having a little bit of snow for a nice family photograph. But so Easter is not such a big deal, but then Christmas comes and it's... Do you start early? Is there a sort of 12 days before or something like that? Or
not. I mean, yeah, you know, there's... kind of a very small celebration, especially when you have little kids, you know, to just dress the Christmas tree and so on. That's a big deal, I think. Then on the 6th of December, we have the Santa Claus Day.
Okay.
So there are some small gifts expected.
And that's for children or for adults as well, just for children?
Some adults expect it as well,
And so then they sort of have a bit of a celebration then, and then...
And then the proper Christmas...
You do the 24th or the 25th?
24th evening, usually late afternoon. Tradition says that you wait for the first star to appear in the sky. Well, not so, you know, easy to spot it for most of the time, since, you know, especially when
snow
you live
clouds are up there.
Somewhere up north, clouds are preventing you to see the first star. So then we wait usually like until 5, 6. Probably not late.
Okay.
Well, not later than that.
So you start your meal and everything then?
Exactly.
And is that the same, obviously a meat-heavy dish, is it turkey or do you do a different speciality?
I think it's kind of more liberal right now, so there's a mix of dishes. The traditional Christmas supper includes 12 dishes, usually.
Okay.
different dishes. It's usually fish being served, not meat.
Fish instead of meat for the main part of the meal?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. For the 24th. So I'm talking about the supper 24th or the dinner, depends how we call it. Then there's borscht.
Of course.
In some houses we have a mushroom soup served instead. But I think still majority is rather going for borscht. And then the dumplings in the borscht, which I just adore. I can skip all the other dishes, but borscht with dumplings. It's a must.
And do you make that outside of Christmas as well, just because you like it, or do you try and keep it special?
I think, well, me personally, I'll definitely keep it special. I think most of the people just eat it separately, you know, out of the Christmas. So it's either borscht or dumplings, rather than, you know...
The two together.
Two together,
that's
exactly.
The special Christmas treat. Yep. And on Christmas Day, then, on the 25th, do you celebrate something then, or are you back to normal?
No, I mean, we keep eating. So, traditional, I keep using this traditional word, but I think it's just commonly practiced still. We spend Christmas around the table, which is, I mean, at one hand, it's good. I mean, there are, you know, tons of delicious things on the table you just wait for. But on the other hand... I hear some voices of, you know, criticism that, well, come on, I mean, just like, you're ending up sick, basically, after, you know, at the end of the second day, you know, people just cannot look at each other anymore, and they have nothing to talk about anymore, and all this food, you know.
I think you should start playing the games again that you do at weddings. That could liven things up.
Tons of different strategies, you know, how to survive Christmas with all this food and people around it.
And then do you continue the celebrations past New Year, or is New Year's the day after New Year's Day it gets back to back to work?
So first of all, we have two Christmas, proper Christmas days. It's 25th and 26th as well. That's why I say it's, you know, it's
really is a food fest.
So it is, it's a really tough, you know, job, you know, to survive until the morning 27th. Theoretically, it's theoretically starting a new, a regular day. So you know, some people go to work. Kids don't go to school, though. They have a Christmas break. And I think for that reason, you know, most of the people still stay at home rather until the end of the year.
Try and lose the weight they've put on, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Those 3 days.
Making some, you know, plans and promises for the new year and so on.
Do you have a second set of Christmas presents like you have on the 6th of the children? Do they get another round on Christmas Day?
Definitely, definitely. Just more and bigger and so on. So 6th is probably just like a prerequisite.
Excellent.
Just a little taste of what's expected later on.
So a little teaser so that you can actually bribe them to be good for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, true. And again, traditionally Christmas is spent at home. So you don't go out, you don't party. You can visit your, friends, neighbors, family, of course. But it's not rather that you're heading, the discos and...
things like that.
Stay there until the morning. It's rather... maybe not the opposite, but it's a different case for the New Year's Eve. Then, people do go out. Uh-huh. Some of them stay home, some of them just, throw the home parties and so on. But, I think it's still, rather well respected, the fact that you just rather spend Christmas with your family and New Year's Eve with your friends.
Your friends, okay. And then that's the big party, and then again, start from back to normal.
Absolutely.
The next week. Well, that's excellent. So thank you for joining us on this week's The Good Manners Map from Poland. That's Jarek, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you for joining us on our journey around the world on The Good Manners Map here on Campus FM with myself, Monique Chambers, and the technicians, Carmelo and Samuel. You can hear this programme on Mondays at 1:30 p.m, Thursdays at 9:30 a.m, and again on Fridays at 8 p.m. You can also download as a webcast from multiuniversitybroadcasting.com.